From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, September 17th. I'm Abby Larico. IVF patients in Missouri fear a new state law that says life begins at conception could put the procedure at risk. But a local attorney says laws protect the procedure for now.
Fundamental to the right to privacy is the idea that the government should not be going into people's bedrooms and telling them when they should have children and how they should have children.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton speaks to fertility lawyer Tim Schlesinger coming up on The Gateway. A federal trial in East St. Louis challenging an Illinois ban on semi-automatic firearms is set to resume this morning with more witness testimonies. Mawa Iqbal has more from day one.
Yesterday was the first day of the bench trial to decide whether outlawing guns like the AR-15 violates the Second Amendment. The plaintiffs called Marine veteran Jeff Eby, who testified that while semi-automatic guns aren't as accurate as handguns, they can fire more rounds and are therefore better suited for home self-defense.
I would like to see the people of Illinois have an opportunity to defend themselves as the Constitution directs, right? Not be pigeonholed down to a musket.
The law took effect nearly 2 years ago in response to the Highland Park Parade mass shooting. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
An exit off Interstate 64 in the Metro East has drawn the attention of a local congresswoman. Still, the Illinois Department of Transportation says a plan to ease congestion at the busy exit can't be expedited. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports.
A viral TikTok shows just how bad the exit to Greenmount Road off I-64 in O'Fallon can be, with cars sitting in traffic on the interstate. Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski wrote a letter to the head of Illinois' Department of Transportation last week, asking to speed up construction. But IDOT spokesman Paul Wapple says, unfortunately, that's not really possible.
The department's working as quickly as we can to complete the final design, and as well as, of course, to comply with all the legal steps to acquire any necessary land that's needed. So we're looking forward to getting construction going as soon as that's all complete.
The State Department is currently finalizing its plans. Once started, construction will take an estimated 2 years. The project, among other things, will widen the interstate to 6 lanes in the area. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Old North St. Louis has added new speed humps in the road to stop reckless driving in the neighborhood. The intersection near Crown Candy Kitchen has been the site of drivers speeding and running through stop signs. The restaurant's owner and 14th Ward Alderman Rasheen Aldridge both pushed for change. Last month, speed humps were added to the problem intersection. Aldridge says conversations surrounding traffic violence must include safety measures for pedestrians and bicyclists in all city neighborhoods.
Historically, the city has paid attention to areas that they think are more influential and have not invested in neighborhoods like Old North or St. Louis Place or College Hill. And these neighborhoods are just as important as other communities.
Aldridge was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. The Evolution Music Festival will be without one of its headliners when the event takes place in Forest Park later this month. The rock band Jane's Addiction has canceled the rest of its tour. That's after a fight between lead singer Perry Farrell and guitarist Dave Navarro, according to the band's statement on Instagram. Organizers of the Evolution Festival say they're saddened by the announcement, but don't yet have a replacement. The festival lost another headliner in July when Blondie canceled its tour. Festival organizers announced Billy Idol would perform in the rock band's place. It's the second year for the festival, which is planned for the weekend of September 28th. Other headliners include L. King, Beck, and The Killers. Rolla High School is starting its school year as an independent school. That means not belonging to a conference for athletic and academic competitions. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All reports school leaders hope the move is temporary.
Fans are cheering at a football game at Rolla High School, where all contests will be non-conference for 2 years. The Ozark Conference disbanded when all of its other members joined other conferences, leaving Rolla the choice of joining them and playing teams 3 hours away or going independent. Principal Corey Ray says the smart choice was to take a step back.
Making sure that our students, you know, weren't being harmed academically by traveling, you know, regularly 3 hours to the south, you know, to compete.
Ray says Rolla is unique as a rural high school with more than 1,000 students, making it hard to find similar schools nearby to play. Rolla aims to find a conference within 2 years. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new study by researchers at St. Louis University reveals far more charter schools than public schools have opened in St. Louis since 1991. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has more.
For the last three decades, only 27 new St. Louis public schools have opened, compared to 61 charter schools across the city. Dorothy Rhodey Collins, a doctoral candidate at SLU who led research for the study, says more collaboration is needed as student enrollment and literacy scores in the district have declined over the years.
If we want our public school system to improve and thrive and truly serve the children of the city, we have to stop fighting and we have to set aside the, well, you're a charter school person and I'm a district person.
Researchers suggest that more investment in public schools could stabilize the city's population and improve overall education. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Some Missouri advocates for in vitro fertilization are calling for the state to protect the procedure, following an Alabama court ruling that frozen embryos should be considered extrauterine children. Nearly a decade ago, a Missouri appeals court ruled that frozen embryos are considered a special kind of marital property. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentem spoke with Clayton-based fertility attorney Tim Schlesinger about whether Missouri's laws are enough to safeguard the procedure.
A frozen embryo is a fertilized egg that develops for 5 days and then it is frozen, cryopreserved, and at that stage it is called a blastocyst. A more appropriate term, I think, would be pre-embryo. When people are referring to frozen embryos, that's what they're referring to. It's very important that pre-embryos not be characterized as children or persons, because that would inevitably lead to a restriction of IVF availability for patients who need it.
The Missouri General Assembly has also stated that life begins at conception. Does that contradict the definition of an embryo not being a person?
So conception is a legal term, not a medical term. The Missouri Court of Appeals decided in 2016 that interpreting the Missouri statute in such a way that would cause a frozen embryo or pre-embryo to be considered to be a child would be unconstitutional.
I think the layperson would look at this and say, if Missouri law says conception is fertilization, embryos are fertilized, thus an embryo is life.
So the Missouri law says that life begins at conception, and there is a separate statute that defines conception essentially as fertilization. Those two statutes taken together could certainly be taken to mean that as soon as fertilization happens, the entity that's created is a person. However, those statutes were in existence in 2016 when the Missouri Court of Appeals decided McQueen versus Gadbury, and the court held that that would violate the constitutional rights of the people forming the embryos to decide whether or not and when to have a child. One of the things that is fundamental to the right to privacy is the idea that the government should not be going into people's bedrooms and telling them when they should have children and how they should have children, how they should create their families. It is possible that the Missouri legislature could pass some subsequent legislation which would seek to define a frozen pre-embryo as a person or a child. If they do that, then yes, IVF is at risk.
Has the decision in Alabama had any effects tangibly on providers here in Missouri? Have you heard of any providers that have been spooked by this particular decision and stopped providing services?
The first answer is that yes, providers were spooked. But the second answer is I don't believe that any provider, at least in the St. Louis area, has stopped providing services as a result of that decision. One thing to keep in mind is that the Alabama decision has absolutely no direct effect on patients in Missouri. mostly these laws happen in the states. They need to, if people want to protect fertility treatment, they need to contact their state legislators and make sure that fertility treatment is protected. And they need to make sure that it's not just the clinics who are protected. They need to make sure that the patients are protected.
That was fertility lawyer Tim Schlesinger speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum. Our David Cazares edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.